Happy Sabbath. So today's scripture reading is found in Philippians 3, verse 8. If you're reading from your Pew Bible, that's on page 1169. It reads, "Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ."
All right. Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's great to see everybody here. Okay, let me figure this out. So,
I think we need to move this over, right?
Sure.
Okay. All right, first time up here, so rookie. Excuse me if there's any rookie mistakes here. I'm going to move this friend over here. All right, well, it's great to be here. I'm really blessed to just be a part of the service and really humbled to be invited to actually speak here and share today. This is my first time sharing today in this church, and so through prayer, I felt convicted to share my testimony to start. Some of you I know really well, and others we haven't met yet. Others we know maybe just a little bit. So today, I figured let's share my testimony and how God has worked in my life, and through that, you'll see a lot of amazing miracles that God has done. You'll actually see a lot of things that I think will be relevant as well. And so before I get started, I just want to thank a few people. I want to thank this church for being so welcoming. You know, as a lot of you know, about 6 months ago or so, my wife and I started coming here, and God made it really clear that He wanted us to come here. And so we started coming, and then a lot of others started to come as well. Just right over here, you have, you know, Sibu, Maharani, Ella, Princey, Haggai. There's some others that have been coming. And so, yeah, you all have been so welcoming. My wife and I have just talked about that, usually on a weekly basis, to be honest. And so I just really thank all of you for your hospitality. Steve and Deborah aren't here, but I especially want to thank them just for opening their house up and having us over there so often, as well as Tony, you know, for everything that he does. He comes a lot, helps on Friday nights. Heidi as well helps with rides. I know, is she back? Oh, okay. Thought she was back there somewhere. And everybody else as well. I know, Judy, thanks so much for getting us involved in song service and everything. Mary and Steve with food and just for coming on the hikes and just being a part of everything. So you all have just been so hospitable and so so nice. And I just praise God for having this church family. And so what I want to do today is actually share with you my testimony as mentioned. I have some slides up here. And so the title of my testimony is, "What Shall It Profit a Man?" Does anyone know where that comes from, that phrase? The Bible, yes, yes, yes. Anyone know where in the Bible that phrase might be coming from?
Matthew?
Yeah, close. Mark, right? Mark 8:36. And so Jesus says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world yet lose his what?
Soul."
His soul. Okay, so we're going to talk about my life today. We're going to talk about that. I have a lot of slides here with a lot of pictures. Okay, so there's a lot of pictures up here. And so what I want to do is share it with you those. I actually don't have any Bible verses up on the screen, but we're going to, of course, get into the Word. So how many of you have Bibles on you today? Okay, no worries. If you don't, there's one right in the pew in front of you. You can grab it. It's the one that says Holy Bible. And please follow along with me. I think it's great to get into the Word. And you're never too young to get into the Word. Amen? So I was actually thinking about this the other day, and some of the people that we read about in the Bible, some of them were very young, younger than I had thought. In fact, Daniel, does anyone have an idea how old Daniel was when he was
17?
Some even think 15, 16, somewhere around there, right in his teens, when they brought him to Babylon. And he stood up for God, and they stood against Nebuchadnezzar, and a lot of the things that happened, he received prophecies. Absolutely amazing in his teens. David, does anyone know how old David was when he battled Goliath? In his teens as well. Yeah, so he was also in his mid-teens. A lot of people believe 14, 15 years old. So, of course, both of these individuals knew their word, and they were deep in their word leading up to that. It wasn't as if they were just playing video games for 5 years, and then all of a sudden they just showed up, and now he's ready to stand up to Goliath. So we're never too young. Even if you're in elementary school, I realized you can even get into the word. Jesus, when he was 12, he was in the temple, and it says that they were amazed at his answers. And does anyone know the most righteous king, I guess, of Judah, one that we have no record of wrong in? Josiah, yeah. So it's not David. David, we have a lot of wrongs that he did. It's not Solomon. Solomon as well, we have a lot of wrongs that he did. And it's not even someone like Hezekiah, who was pretty righteous. There's a guy named Josiah. Does anyone know how old he was when he became king?
Seven, six, eight,
actually. Yeah. So right there. So, I mean, he obviously was in the Word, right, before he got to that point. So he might have been studying the Word when he was 6 years old or five even. Who knows? So it's never too young. So yeah, whether you're young or you're old or you're somewhere in between, follow along with me in the Bible as we go through this. I have a stopwatch on my phone, okay? So I'm going to make sure that I don't go too long. My goal here is about 35, 40 minutes. I'm going to try to stick with that. I have the stopwatch going right now. It already says 2 minutes, okay? So I'm going to make sure that I stick through that. But with that, what I want to do is just share with you how God has worked in my life. And I really pray that it actually can speak to you as well. So with that, let's start with another word of prayer as we get into this story. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for this time that we can get together here, that we can study your word, Father, that we can just hear how you've worked in our lives, Father, specifically my life today. You've said that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Father. And so I just pray that you speak through me today, Father. Let not me be glorified, Father. Let not sin be glorified, although some of those things will be shared, Father. But let you be glorified. Let your word be glorified, Father. Let your son be glorified. And I pray all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. All right. So as I start, I just wanted to break my testimony up into three parts. I'm going to use this event called GYC as the break point because there's a lot of things that happened before my first GYC. I went to one in 2005. There's a lot of things that happened after that. There was a big life change. And then there was another one that I actually didn't even go to this one, to be honest. My wife went. But she went to this one. Her life was changed. And there's a lot of things that happened since then in 2013. And I know a lot of you have been to GYC, right? I know some of you have been to GYC. Anyone been? Okay, some of you have been. I know Tony even was on a road trip, right? You literally drove from here to Houston with no money. And God actually brought them there. So it's a great event. You should go. But it's been a big event in my life. And so I want to use that as a break point. Basically three parts to my life here, if you break it up like that. So to start, I'm just going to buzz through some stuff. Where did it start? I have a brother. The girl in the middle is my cousin, actually, but just a normal family. You know, my parents, they actually originally were from Bangladesh. Their parents were Adventists. We were kind of a nominal Adventist family. We go to church once in a while, and, you know, the whole nine yards, Bibleopoly and all that stuff. But at the same time, just kind of a normal upbringing, nothing really too crazy. And what happened was this. I went to a high school. It was a non-denominational Christian high school. I grew up in Virginia for about 10 years. And in this high school is where I gave my life to God for the first time. I was actually in 10th grade. Now, right before that, my parents had gotten divorced. It was a very messy situation. I don't know if anyone here has been divorced or had their parents divorced, but it was not a good thing. It was really devastating, to be honest with you. And through that, I started to get into vandalism. I got suspended a couple times. But thank the Lord, I actually was sent to the summer camp. It was actually a Baptist summer camp. And there was a preacher preaching there. And he was kind of one of these typical, you know, as you know it, fire and brimstone preachers. Sometimes there's some Baptist preachers that are like that. But it really spoke to me because when I went there, I was convicted that my life was in a wreck and that I needed God. I know I had grown up around Jesus. I had heard his name. I had heard different seminars and this and that, but I never really dedicated my life to him. So that was when I first dedicated my life to him. It was a life-changing moment. I felt so free. I felt so much peace. There was a few of my friends that we started studying the Bible with together, and we had a little small group. And I decided that I was going to be a non-denominational Christian. I was not going to be part of any Adventist church or anything like that. I was just going to be a non-denominational Christian because that's what they were. I didn't really fully understand what my church believed anyways, my parents' church, that is. And so here we go with life. So that happened. Things were great. Until my senior year in high school, I had to move out to California. So this is about 3,000 miles from Virginia. I moved to California to live with my dad. Not happy at all. And I went to school there just for 1 year. I made some friends. And then after that, I actually came up to college over here, not too far from here, at UC Berkeley. And so it was a great school. I was very intimidated, but it was exciting nonetheless. And it was a really interesting time. In fact, when I came up, I started in August 2001. And some of you remember what happened during that time. Literally within a few weeks, it was September 11th. And there was a lot of things happening. Life was all over the place. So over the course of the year, there's a lot of different developments in my life. But one thing that happened in particular was I actually started to sell long-distance phone service through this business. And I started getting really involved in it so I could make some extra money, learn some skills. But that next summer, what ended up happening is I started to make pretty good money, and I started to get really into it. And I lost focus of school. So when I went back to school, I'll actually just show you what happened. Here's me getting into business. I'm a businessman. I'm a young businessman. I think I was 19 years old. And so some people think I look the same. Maybe I'm a little chubbier now. I don't know. But the reality is that was me. And so I was really into this. And I started making some money. And what ended up happening is I lost focus of school. I started to fail some classes. I just want to show you this real quick. So when I dropped out, I actually had two Fs. The MPs are just nice ways to say Fs, not passes. And then I had a C. I got a pass in this one unit class that was pretty much a gimme class. And so I think I skipped one of my finals. Things were not going the way that my parents wanted them to go, for sure. And I was just all into making money. So here I am now. I was a Christian. Now I'm starting to fade, and I'm starting to really focus on money. And that became my life goal. I read a bunch of books. In fact, over the next 2 years, I read about a book a week on business and making money, so about 100 books total. And I just worked about 100 hours a week, and that's what I did. And we were making some money. So what ended up happening is when I was 19, I'm buying this Porsche. I dropped out of school about a month after that, and then we were really just getting into this. Now, I was not prioritizing anything else other than making money. And so, for instance, here's some friends that we were working with. So what we do is we'd sell long-distance phone service in groups. And not everyone knows. I know Heidi probably knows at least this guy right here. That's her brother, Maimar. If any of you met him, he's awesome. I was looking for a picture with Steve and Deborah, because Steve and Deborah actually used to work with us too. I don't know if they told you that, but we actually had an office in Riverside. We all used to work together. And Steve worked there, Deborah worked there. It was a good old time. But in any case, people were interested in making money for different reasons. Some of them were honorable reasons, to help their family out. Some were just looking to make some extra money so they could get out of a bad job situation. And then others, like me, were looking to get rich, to get filthy rich, and to hang it over our parents' head and to buy a bunch of stuff. And so that's what my goal was in life. Well, what ended up happening is I ended up getting really sick. This is a weird picture, but I wanted to show this because that's my right side. And nobody stabbed me or anything like that. This is self-inflicted because I ended up not taking care of my health. My lung collapsed once, and then they had to pull it up with something, and then I wanted to work more. They said, don't work, and I said, okay, sure, I won't work. And then I went home anyways, and I worked, and then it fell down again, and so they had to do surgery. So that happened. My appendix ruptured once. It was a really bad situation, but I was not taking care of my health. I did not prioritize my health. Now, the Bible is really amazing because we actually have some guidance, and this is something that I did not follow, but by God's grace, I'm able to follow now. And so we see this in the book of 1 Corinthians 3:16. We can actually just look at this really briefly. 1 Corinthians 3:16. So this is one of the areas where I first went very far awry. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And so I just did not care about this whatsoever. But and this is really great because one of the things that I love about this church in particular is that you get this, and you actually really focus on helping the community with this. There's the diabetes seminar coming up. There's a depression seminar coming up. These are great things. So the Bible says this. It says, don't you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, he will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple that you are. And if you flip over a few more pages and you just go to chapter 6, these verses say similar things, but there's some really awesome things that are said here. It says in chapter 19, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? So in other words, I just told you that a few chapters ago. Look, guys, this is important. Don't you know this? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So God expects us to take care of our body because it's not ours anymore. God actually bought this with the price of his own son. And so God wants us to do this, and he'll help us do this. You know, it's not a struggle. It's not something that he wants us to do on our own. This is where God's grace comes in. We ask him, God, help me take care of my body. Help me eat the right things. Help me get the right amount of sleep. Help me get the kind of exercise that I need. This is not the type of prayers that I was praying at this time when my health was awry. I was actually not praying any prayers whatsoever. And so even in spite of these things, I felt like God was trying to reach me, but in spite of these things, I kept getting better, and then I kept going back into my old ways and getting more and more deeper into money. So within a year, we started making even more money. We actually got our business to over $1 million in revenue, and we bought this $1 million house. My brother and I bought this with two other friends in Orange County. And so now, you know, we went from having some cars and, you know, our parents saying, well, you got some nice cars, but, you know, you dropped out of school for what, cars? So we said, all right, fine, we'll buy a house. So we went ahead and bought a house. And then just for the sake of pride and pride alone, I ended up buying this Ferrari so I could have more better cars than my brother who had a Porsche too, and my other friend Josh Luddington who also had a Porsche. So I just wanted to be better. I was just very prideful. And I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to run this business. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a ton of money. And then I'm going to invest the money in real estate. And when the time is right, I'm going to try to buy out this business from the owners of our business selling this stuff. And then I'm going to make even more money. And I'm going to become a billionaire. This is what I'm going to do. And so I'm 21 at this time. I'm extremely cocky. You would not want to be friends with me. In fact, I don't think I had any friends. I just had people that worked with me. And that's all that I did. In fact, I was such a bad person from my view of this at this time, and so cocky that I would actually bring my cars to church, park them in the front. Sometimes I'd have someone drive one of my other ones, and then we'd try to recruit people at the church during service and after service to join our business. This is what we would do. And so this is a bad situation, right? This is a very, very bad situation. And so think about this Bible verse, right? I think it was going to be our scripture reading, but we looked at it in Mark chapter 8:36. What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, let lose his own soul? And so at this time, I can guarantee you one thing, my soul was lost for sure. You know, even though I had a genuine conversion when I was in high school, it is possible to have a genuine conversion, to genuinely give your life to God, but then to fall away and to reject him and to lose your salvation. That is possible. And that's exactly where I was at that time. And at the same time, I was having this worldly success. Now, my dad, this is really exciting. He actually had given his life to God. Again, he had rededicated his life, even though they had a divorce earlier and he was doing his own thing. He had rededicated his life to God, and he started really praying for me. And I believe that this is what led to a big change in my life at this time, because everything was unchecked until then, and now all of a sudden, God started putting the checks on it. And I feel like a little Nebuchadnezzar story was going on, where Nebuchadnezzar got very prideful. Does anyone remember the story where he got very prideful? There's multiple stories of Nebuchadnezzar getting very prideful. But let's say the third one, when God actually humbled him for 7 years and made him like an animal, right? That happened. And the reality is God was about to do something similar in my life so he could reach me. And I praise God that Nebuchadnezzar was reached. As prideful as he was, God reached him. And he actually wrote a chapter in the Bible. Amazing. But look at what happened here. So this is going on. Within a few months, this is at the end of 2004, the company we're working with goes bankrupt. All right. So I was very young. I was very cocky. And I also was very naive. So I had about $10,000 a month in personal bills. And it wasn't like we were making millions. I mean, we were making pretty good money. But my bills were $10,000 a month. I was making a little bit more than that per month. And then all of a sudden, I went down to zero income, but my bills were still $10,000 a month. So that's a bad situation. It's a really bad situation. And so we were trying to sell cell phones with another business. We were trying to make money. It wasn't working out. And I was just fighting it. I was working even harder than I had worked before. And nothing was working. And so finally, we actually went and we saw my dad. I mean, this was a really bad conversation. Imagine how terrible of a conversation this is. This is like this prodigal son conversation, but a little bit worse. Because in the prodigal son conversation, the dad actually runs out to them and gives them. It wasn't exactly like that, okay? It was the first part where I went back and I said, hey, Dad, you know, this happened. Yeah, we owe $25,000 on this house. Yeah, your other son is going to get a foreclosure on his thing. And my dad wasn't like, oh, giving us hugs. No, my dad was, this is really bad. I mean, he wasn't terrible about it, but it wasn't prodigal son stuff. And so what happens is he says, look, I just started following this one preacher. I went to this restoration event by this guy named Randy Skeet, and I rededicated my life to God. This is a man of God. He's doing a seminar in, I forget the name of it, it's kind of like a Leone Meadows, but it's in Southern California. Pine Springs Ranch. He's doing a seminar there this weekend, and so why don't you guys come up with us, and then we'll have him pray for you, because to be honest, this is a bit, like, I can't help you, so you're going to need God's help. I don't even know if he'll help you. We'll find out. So it wasn't exactly like the prodigal son. So anyways, we're kind of tail between our legs, so we say, all right, we got to go. So we go up there, and again, we're trying to sell the house, trying to sell the cars. Nobody wants to buy any of this stuff, and what happens is we go up there. And essentially, he prays over us. And I kid you not, within a week, I kid you not, somebody bought one of my cars, and then the money we made from that, we were able to pay down the mortgage a little bit. Within a month, somebody bought the house. And so we got out of those things. It was a miracle. And then now I have no house, so I had to move back with my dad. That was another conversation. And so I had to move back in with my dad. But I praise God at least for all those things. And, you know, in fact, I praise God all the more because without that, he would never have been able to reach me where my heart was at. So now we're going on the humbling. All right. So I'm thinking, okay, well, at least we got out of that. Let me get back on my feet. I'm going to get out there and make some more money again and get back where I was. It didn't work out like that. For the next 7-8 months, I struggled. Oh my goodness, I tried harder than I ever tried. And it must have been a supernatural event because there's no reason that we shouldn't be closing the deals that we used to close. I mean, it literally just was a supernatural thing. But God saw a way, and my dad was there. And so this is my dad on the right, and Pastor Randy C. on the left. He would come and stay at my dad's house all the time. They became really good friends. And whenever he was in town, he'd stay at my dad's house, and that's what happened. And so he was in there, and you know, they're doing whatever they're doing, and then, you know, he's, how's your business going, Sean? And I would say, oh, it's going all right. And I constantly was convicted because even though God had got me out of some mess, I still hadn't given my life to him. Well, my dad was still praying, and he was still working on me. We would get in arguments, but he was a lot softer man, and I saw that God had changed him. And so he suggested to me, he said, Sean, you know, there's a DVD series by a guy named Leo Screven, and he talks about how to become successful, but from the Bible. And so I'm thinking, oh, this sounds great. How to be successful. I could care less about the Bible thing. But how to be successful. This sounds good. And so I remember that same guy. He did a seminar 20 years ago or something when I was young in Virginia. And we saw it. And I remember he was a good speaker. So I said, let me go listen to this. So I started watching the DVD. And these are great principles. And he just brings out Bible principles about money, about relationships, principles about health, principles about stewardship, principles about all sorts of things. And I'm realizing, you know what, this book is not too bad. This book is pretty decent. This book has some things of value in it. So this is interesting. Well, same speaker actually had a seminar as well on DVD. It was a Daniel Revelation seminar. And so I continue to watch that, and now I'm just engrossed in it. And these are not like one-hour seminars. These are like 24 set of DVDs, you know, that kind of thing. And so I just sit there, and I'm just engrossed, and I just watch it all, and I realize, you know what? The Bible is real. The Bible is real. The Bible is the inspired word of God. And the truth of the Bible points toward the Adventist church, in fact. Not the non-denominational churches that I was in before. Those are great churches. God does a lot of great things in them. But the truth in the Bible is found in this Adventist church, this crazy Adventist church that my dad goes to. And so I realized, wow, that's true. Now, I did nothing about it. I went back to work. I went back doing what I was doing for the next few months. But eventually there was this GYC event that came. And what happened was my dad was able to get me to go. And I remember him asking me to go, and I was very convicted about it. I was very convicted that, essentially, I should go. And so I didn't want to go. I knew it was going to happen. I knew I was going to get really convicted like I did when I was in 10th grade. But I finally went. And some of it had to do with the fact I live with my dad, and he said, you got to go. But I eventually went, and I remember there was the speakers that were speaking. I was just convicted left and right, up and down on 15 different things that we were doing. I mean, there were so many things that we were doing in the business world at that time that were not in line with God's will. And it got to the point where there was a speaker speaking, and they made an appeal. And they said, does anyone want to give their life to God fully? You want to just dedicate your life to God? You want a clean slate? And I'll never forget the conviction that I had. It was the same one that I had when I was in 10th grade, and it was pounding. And so at that point, I gave my life to God. And that was the best feeling I ever had in my life. It was exactly the same feeling that I had in 10th grade. It was the full cleansing of sin. It was the blood of Christ covering me. It was so exciting. Now this time, I was just wondering, wow, where do I go from here? You know, I don't want to get back into the situation that I was in before, where I actually didn't know my word, where I actually didn't know exactly where to go. I didn't want to get into that kind of situation. And so what ended up happening is I was just praying, God, can you give me somebody? Can you help me with a mentor that can teach me the Bible? When I started getting involved in business, it was very much based around mentorship. There was a couple of sales mentors that mentored me on sales. And so that helped me so much. And so I said, God, can you give me a mentor in the Bible this time? To really help walk me through what I should be focusing on and what this Bible teaches, answer my questions. I had a gazillion questions about everything, about what is the science behind the flood, to, you know, how do we understand relationships between men and women and all these other things going on. I had all sorts of questions. And so God pointed me to a guy. I'll never forget it. He feel like he's saying, oh, go talk to this person. And it ended up being this person. I'll skip through that right now. It ended up being this person named Michael Tuazon. He's this guy right there in the middle in the gray shirt. kind of, that's not how tall he is, he's actually shorter than that. He's standing on his tippy toes. But the reality is he was a businessman too. So I talked to him, he was a businessman, he was involved in real estate, but he actually did some ministry on the side, and so he said, hey, who are you? You know, what's going on? Like, well, I don't know, you know, I just gave my life to the Lord, I'm interested in the Bible, do you know the Bible? And so he said, yeah, actually I do, I would love to meet with you, maybe we can meet up next week where you live, and it turned out we lived in the same area. So he said, yeah, maybe we can meet up there. So I started to meet with him, and we started studying the Bible. And it initially was going to be this once-a-week thing. It ended up being multiple times a week. It ended up getting to the point where we spent about 40 hours a week together. I'm not even exaggerating on that. The way we did it was basically every weekend, Sunday, Saturday, Friday night, just the whole thing, like literally 24 hours on Saturday and Sunday. And then during the weeknights, we would always meet up, and we just studied the Bible together. And then usually I would also get so excited about things that I was learning, I'd invite my friends. I'd invite even people that I worked with. Sometimes I'd do it in the wrong way, where I'd kind of force people to come. So I don't recommend that. I'd say, hey, you should come. And I'll try to make it, no, you need to come. Like, you work for us. Come. That's not how you want to do it. Yeah, that's like Mark of the Beast bad stuff. Don't do that. Don't force worship. But at the same time, I was so excited. I was so passionate. And so that's what we did. And it was a blessing. God really blessed this time. He grounded me in this time. After this, you know, over the next year, we spent time doing this. There was a small church called Fontana Seventh-day Adventist Church in Southern California. I don't know if anyone's ever been there, but it's a great church, and it's this really small church, and so that's where he was at. So we just started doing ministry there. We started to just invite people. We started to just do Bible studies with people, go do outreach in the community. We do some stuff with the homeless out there. We do all sorts of things, and God really started to bless this ministry. My brother got involved, too, so he was in the world doing all these other things too, and he got curious, and he was humbled, and so he actually dedicated his life to God, and he opened up his house, and we started doing events over there. We started doing just kind of college, small group ministry, whatever it might be, and God really blessed this time, and you know, it ended up getting to the point where it was a huge blessing, and it was this ministry that God did. And so I wanted to go back to Mike, because what was interesting with Mike is that he actually knew his word. And you know, you mentioned this verse earlier. You mentioned 1 Peter chapter 3:15. And it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to any man that asks you of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. And so there's a couple things going on there. So first, you want to be ready. You want to be ready to give an answer. You know, so if somebody asks you, you know, for instance, I love what you were saying. That's an awesome opportunity. Why do you believe in going to church on Saturday? Or, you know, why do you believe that Jesus is God? Or, you know, why do you even believe that God is God? You want to be ready for that. And so this guy, Mike, he was ready for that. He could answer these questions as they came. And as a result of that, many people were saved in that town, in the area coming from our network. And so that was a blessing, you know. And he studied his Bible, too. There's another really good verse in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so he shared these verses with me. I'll never forget them. This is a little over a decade ago, so about 11 years ago. And he knew his word, and he was able to share that with me. And that was able to help build my faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so we got a lot of that at that time. And God really blessed in this. And so one of the things that was interesting with him is that he was a lay person, you know, and lay person's kind of a weird term. The idea is they're not paid full-time by the church. They kind of just work a full-time normal job. And then as they work a full-time normal job, they serve God on the side. And so that's what he was. He was a full-time person. And, you know, what was really interesting is he was able to spend his extra time dedicated to the Lord. And my soul essentially is here on the record because of what he did. And so, you know, it's really interesting to see that. And so, you know, some of you might know your Bible really well, you know, and that's really good. And just ask yourself the question, you know, is there anyone that I could be maybe sharing more time with? Is there anyone that I could be giving more answers to in the evenings, on the weekends, even maybe at lunch during work, even if you're a full-time person? You know, and one of the things that I used to think too was, well, you know, I'm serving in my church, you know, I'm kind of serving in a capacity, or I have a ministry that I'm with, and those are great things, and God wants us to be involved in those things, and we're called to do that. But we're also called to go out there and share Christ with others. This is one thing that I really learned that was interesting. If you turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Peter, so 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is one of my favorite verses. It's one of my favorite verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And so I remember when someone shared this with me and explained it to me in this way, and it really opened my eyes up quite a bit. So here it is, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So a couple interesting things there, right? So there's a lot of stuff talking about how people think, oh, Jesus is so slow to come back. You know, why does he come back? I tell my wife this sometimes, Jesus is slow, you know, and sometimes she'll rebuke me right after that. But at the same time, sometimes I have those thoughts. And people think that. And Peter was writing to people that thought that. And he's saying, no, look, God is long-suffering. He's looking to save as many souls as possible. If you ask God, what are you thinking about today? What is on your mind today? What are you interested in today? His interest is saving souls. And here's the interesting thing. In the passage, it talks about the recipe for that. It talks about that all should come to repentance. So repentance is a key part of soul saving. It's a key component to salvation. You know, it's really a big part of it. What happened with me is I had learned the truth maybe a year before I actually was able to repent. I learned the truth, but I actually didn't turn from my ways. I didn't allow God's grace to change me from the inside out. And so God wants folks to repent. He wants folks to experience salvation. One thing I was thinking of this morning is, you know, we're in 2017, right? And 2017 maybe has started a little rocky, you know, depending on where you're at. Started rocky for us. We were actually in Berkeley a few nights ago when there was a riot over there. I don't know if anyone was over there, but they were breaking windows, they were breaking ATM machines, people were getting beaten in the street, there was people on top of cars smashing windows in. It was a little out of control, and it's right where the ministry space is. And so 2017 has started a little rocky, and I know a lot of times my focus is 2017, but one of the thoughts that I had was, God doesn't really care about 2017, he cares more about, I don't know, 2 billion 17, 2 trillion 17, a trillion years from now. You know, that's what God is concerned. He wants as many people there as possible. And so sometimes in our lives, like my life, he'll allow things to happen. He'll allow me to experience things good and bad so that I might be saved. And sometimes he'll allow me to experience things good and bad so that others might be saved, so that others might have a chance at salvation. God is concerned about salvation above all else. And so whatever we're doing, it doesn't matter what we're doing, whether we work full-time or, you know, whether we're in ministry full-time or whether we're here or there, God wants us in the ministry full-time for him whenever we can. And so I learned this from the guy Mike. I learned this from Michael Tuzon because he shared with me, look, hey, I have a full-time job, but I'm still here meeting with you. What would happen if I didn't meet with you, Sean? Where would you go? And I started to think, I don't know where I would go, to be honest with you. And so I praise God for his willingness, and I praise God for his ability to actually share with me during this time. So I'm going to wrap up here in the next few minutes, but fast forwarding past this. So anyways, we go through this. After a couple of years of doing ministry down in Southern California, I wasn't sure what to do. I started to backslide a little bit in my faith, and I wasn't exactly sure where to go. And so my parents knew where I should go. They said you should go back to school because you dropped out. And so they said, call your school up, see if they'll take you back. And I didn't think they would ever take me back. Why would they take me back? I literally just dropped out. They would call me for 6 months. I didn't answer any calls. Why would they ever take me back? Well, they did take me back. They said, yeah, you can come on up. You just need to pay a little bit of money. We took some money off of your scholarship initially because you messed it up. So as long as you pay $2,000, we'll let you back into school. So I started back up. Now, I was already a little shaky at this time with my faith. I was a little disillusioned. But God had changed my character in certain areas, specifically things when it came to health, when it came to rest, when it came to priorities, when it came to the kind of music that I listened to, when it came to the things that I did for fun. A lot of those things changed, and my priorities changed. And so when I came back to school, I didn't get caught up in all the hoopla that happens often at college campuses. I didn't get caught up in that this time around. So God really blessed us. You know, even though I was still disillusioned, I didn't have as much faith, God really blessed me when it came to grades. And so I was able to do really well. I ended up getting a lot of A-pluses and A's when I came back. And this was totally God's grace because I was the same person, the same IQ, the same brain the first time around. But at the same time, I was getting F's and whatevers. And so this was God doing this. And I think what God was telling me was the promises in Scripture. You know, there's some great promises in Isaiah 58, specifically as it relates to the Sabbath. That was something that I was convicted on and that I just thought was a good idea, you know, wherever I was at with God. And so by following his blueprint for that, God said, if you turn away your foot and you keep the Sabbath day, then I'll bless you and I'll cause you to ride in the high places. And I saw that exact thing happen in my life. And so I'm a really big believer in those Bible promises that talk about God prospering us when we follow and obey him. But I was still weird on my faith. I wasn't exactly sure, you know, why is God not giving me victory in these areas? Why does God do this? I was a little thrown off on some things. And so I was still interested in service. And so we started doing this service ministry called Project Pueblo, where we go to the Navajo reservation a few times a year and work with the Navajos. It wasn't a religious ministry. It was just straight up service. And it was really fun. It was character building. It was a great time. And then I also started working again. So this time I was working selling cell phones again, the same business that I was very unsuccessful in. It's not this. This is also in the Navajo reservation. But it's this. And so I started selling cell phones again. And this time it was actually done in a much better way. It was a much healthier way. The motivations were correct. And it was exciting because I actually met someone through this business this time around. I met this young lady over here. And she actually started working with us. And I started to date her. And we actually eventually got married, as you know. But one of the ways that it worked out is she got involved in the nonprofit that I had too. So I got to see her at work and at the nonprofit. So that was really cool. And eventually we got together and we started dating. And so I'll talk about that, you know, maybe another time for another place because that's its own story. There's a lot of things that happened there. But, you know, in any case, she actually came around. She was Buddhist when I first met her. She was kind of agnostic Buddhist. And I would go to these Friday night fellowships at the campus. And eventually she would say, where do you go? You know, what's going on? She probably's thinking, are you dating someone else? What's going on? And so I said, no. It was hard enough for me to even date you. It was difficult. And so you should come with me. Yeah, I mean, there's no way I'm going to be able to date two people. I have a hard enough time getting one person to want to date me. And so in any case, she started to come around on Friday night. And she actually became a Christian through that. We started doing some Bible studies. And she became an Adventist. She was baptized. And that was an amazing blessing. Well, here she is as someone coming as a Buddhist. And keep in mind, you know, we literally also lived together during this time. So about a week after we started dating, we moved in together. I can show you some Bible passages saying you shouldn't do that. But I think a lot of you probably get that. And so here I am disillusioned. And my logic went like this. My logic went like, well, I'm struggling with lust. And so lust is adultery. And if lust is adultery, I'm lusting anyway. So I might as well just commit adultery if I'm going to marry this person potentially. So there's some messed up logic. And I think this is something that happens. I don't know. Hopefully none of you have ever done this or thought anything like that. But I think what happens is when we have some kind of sin in our life or we're struggling with sin or we're not sure about something, we're not having victory in areas or we're not experiencing power of the Holy Spirit, we can get disillusioned on certain things. And so I know the Bible says, well, you know, adultery is a sin. It actually refers to it as a salvational sin. And if that's the case, and I'm already there, then this is not a good situation for my life. And it's hard to get up in the morning and live. So I had to make up stuff in my mind and just kind of twist the Bible a little bit to live. And so I started to have some weird beliefs in Scripture, some weird beliefs on what God is and who he was. And so that was me. I was going through that. Now, at the same time, my wife, she doesn't know any better. She's just learning the Bible as she goes. And, you know, at some point she realizes, well, wait a second, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't be doing this from what I said, right? You know, is that what it says? It seems like it says that. And so I didn't want to lead her astray. So I said, yeah, that's what it says. And so we would try to move out, and then eventually we'd fall back in, and we'd move out, and we'd fall back in. And this happened a couple times over the course of a couple years. Now, I was hoping to marry her. We were planning to get engaged, all of these things, but that doesn't make it right. And what ended up happening is we graduated. And then, again, she got a job working at KPMG, this accounting firm, and just skipping through this, I tried to get into MBA program after I graduated. I figured I had pretty good grades, I had work experience. This was another big humbling experience by God because I applied 6 places. I didn't get into any of them. It was so humbling, and it was like a year of life. It's still humbling when I think about it right now. I don't want to look at the slide anymore. I'm going to switch over. So it was bad, okay? It was really bad. So anyways, I didn't have anything going on. My wife is working. Here she is, like, you know, I think she was like 6 or 7 years younger than me because I dropped out of school. I can't even get a job now. And she's working. She's basically supporting us. And this is really bad. And so I had this little side project. We were trying to do this little startup business selling movie tickets. And, you know, at this point in my life, anything went. You know, I don't really recommend You know, going to see most movies. I don't really recommend starting a business selling movie tickets nowadays, but, you know, that's kind of where I was at. It was just whatever went, because I had this weird kind of theology, I guess, going on in my mind. And so here we go. I'm starting this. And, you know, for some reason, this thing gets blessed. I actually believe that in spite of everything, God is still blessing. And so we were able to get some press. We actually got a team of founders together. We were able to raise some money. And I was actually able to get to the point where I could pay myself a little bit. And so that's actually what I've been doing full-time for the last few years. And it's been an experience, nonetheless. There's been a lot of rocky road with it. But nevertheless, it's been an experience. And so I'll talk about that maybe another time. But what's relevant is in 2013, my wife now goes to GYC, okay, as we end. So she goes to GYC in 2013 and essentially gets convicted that we shouldn't be living together. Now, we were already engaged. We were getting ready to get married in 6 months. And she comes back and she says she's convicted. And so I say, well, no, you know, definitely we should. And she's like, no, for real this time. Like, we really need to do this. So I say, okay, well, how about we do this? We're going to get married in 6 months anyways. Let's just go to the courthouse, get the whole thing. That makes it legal. And then we'll be married today. And then we'll just do the ceremony in 6 months. I think that's a good idea. And so she says, well, you know, I actually feel like we should be separate so we can have victory in this area. And so we could actually minister. You can minister to single guys. I can minister to single girls. And we can show them that God can give victory in this area. And so I'm thinking, wow, okay, well, okay, sure. I mean, let's do it. Pray for me. But God had really filled her with the Spirit, and we prayed, and God gave us victory over the next 6 months until we got married. And also, in addition to that, he poured his Holy Spirit out on me again. During those few years, I had not taught the Bible to anyone. I had not shared the Bible with anyone. I basically felt almost God close my lips up, and I think it was a miracle, because I would have spouted out all sorts of heresies, to be honest with you, because my theology was all over the place, because I needed to match that with my lifestyle versus the other way around. God wants us to match our lifestyle with what the Bible teaches. He doesn't want us to match what the Bible teaches with our lifestyle. And so God gave us victory. We started to do ministry, and this is what has been happening over the last few years. And essentially, we started doing some small groups in our home on Friday nights, and God grew that. God blessed that. That was really, really exciting. And, you know, we've been working with Sebu for the last few years. It's been amazing. And then we got married. That was a blessing. That was the best, actually, ever. And we you know, we'll do different things. We'll go on hikes. I know, you know, we'll go on hikes with you guys a lot all the time. So it's just been a blessing, you know, what God has done. We actually have the seminar on how to get A's, and we use that as a way to help students and then share with them the gospel, essentially. So that's been really good. And then this is just us doing that in a classroom. And yeah, we have this little student center too that God blessed us with. And this is really great. If you haven't been there, you should come visit us. I know most of you have been there, so it's been awesome. And yeah, that's what it looks like. And so as we end, I just wanted to share this. So what ended up happening was this. So there was this guy, Michael Tuazon. I remember a few years ago, he would show me, look, you know, I'm working full time, and if someone's interested and willing, then I'm going to meet with them. That's my promise to God. If someone's interested and willing, then I'm going to meet with them. And so I said, oh, you don't even know how interested I am. I'm going to take all your time. And that's exactly what happened. And then God eventually called him into full-time ministry. And so, you know, God's actually been doing the same thing with me. This is a blessing. Work is crazy. I'm sure most of you have crazy jobs, crazy work. You know, it's just sometimes a beating. Just for me, you know, a couple of things just to rattle off this last year, what happened. We almost went bankrupt 2 or 3 times. I had to throw in, you know, 5 figures of personal money into the business so it didn't go bankrupt. And then we had to beg our investors for some more money. And then I had to terminate my co-founder, who was also my best friend for the last few years. And what else happened? I don't know, you know, what else. There's other things. So work is hard, but God is good. And so what God has told me is the same thing that he told Mike, I think, about 10 years ago, which is, hey, make yourself willing for me. One of the verses I want to share with you as we end here, and this is the verse in Matthew chapter 6. And I talk about this verse a lot as we wrap it up. As you go there, I just want to show. So I'm working, but God's been able to bless. In the red, these are ministry opportunities. We've been able to meet with people in the evenings and the weekend, just like Mike did with me. And we've been able to have dinners with people and do Bible studies and do discipleship with people and have ministry events on the weekends. And so I invite all of you to come. But one of the things that God shared with me is this, and I continue to go back to this. I'm just going to read this, verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's a pretty straightforward verse. A lot of us know it. It says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and some of these things will be added unto you. Okay, good. You guys have a good version. Yeah, it says, and all these things will be added unto you. And so I just realized, how much do I believe that? You know, how much do I believe that? To be honest with you, I still need more faith to believe that fully. But I'm at least at a point now, I think where I'm at right now, to be candid, is I'm willing to try to test God on that. You know, I'm willing to test God and ask him to show himself, his promise, basically. God, I wanna give you some more time. And when I give you this more time, God, and I put you first in your righteousness, I want to see you actually add all these things to me. And I've seen him do it. You know, God's really been a blessing with my relationship life, with my health, with all these other things. And so as we end here, I just want to appeal the same to many of you. You know, many of you are in different situations. I actually want to make a couple appeals here as we wrap up immediately. So the first thing that I want to ask is if there's anyone here that needs to dedicate their life to God, just think about where I was at. You know, I was really involved in the world. I was seeking after money. That was my God. That was my idol. And I thought that's where happiness was. But it wasn't there. It was actually in the bosom of God. And I can testify to that now because I've experienced both, some of it. But maybe for you, it's money. You know, maybe for you, it's status and prestige. Maybe you're looking to, you know, get really good grades and get into really good grad school, which, you know, I got good grades, but I was unsuccessful in the grad school. So I was chasing that. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for a relationship with somebody. And that's kind of what is the end all be all. You know, even like my, actually, I'm all of these things. I've done all of these sins. And so maybe you're looking for a relationship. And you know what? Hey, maybe they're not equally yoked with you. Maybe they're not, you know, ready for a full relationship with you, but you want to do it anyways. Maybe God says, don't sleep with this person, but you want to do it anyways. Maybe God says, don't get yourself involved in these sexual things, but you want to do it anyways. I don't know exactly where you're at, but maybe you're in a situation where God is making it clear to you that you're not in line with what he has clearly revealed in his word, and you're convicted on that, and you want to dedicate your life to God. You want to just say, God, I want to give you my whole life. I don't want to hold anything back. And it could be a rededication too, just like myself. I gave my life to God when I was 16 in 10th grade, but I had to re-give my life to God about a decade ago. And every day now I give my life to God. But maybe you have to rededicate your life to God because you've strayed and you've gotten tangled up in some sin, and then that little sin got to the point where it changed the way that you think of God. And now you're sinning in all sorts of different areas. And now you've made commitments. And now you've gotten entangled in things that maybe you shouldn't have gotten entangled for. Pray for me right now, right? I'm selling movie tickets. I don't really want to be doing that, but I'm entangled in it. So pray for me. I pray for that every day. But I also ask you, maybe there's things that you are involved in right now that you know God doesn't want. And you want to rededicate your life fully. You want out of those things. Is there anyone here that wants to dedicate their life to God in that situation? Maybe there's one or two of you. If there are, if you could stand right now, just to dedicate your life to God. I don't know if there's anyone here or not, but if you feel convicted and you know that there's something that's not right with you and God, it could be something in the realm of money or something in the realm of your relationship life or in the realm of any kind of idol that might be in your life. Is there anyone here that wants or needs to rededicate their life to God or dedicate their life to God for the first time? If there is, you can just stand where you're at. So I'd like to pray for you. Okay, I'll leave that out there. And one other appeal that I want to make really quickly as we end is maybe that's not you. You know, maybe you're good, but maybe you don't know how to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that's in you. Maybe you haven't studied to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. And you want to know your Bible better. You want to know how to give answers, you know, to ministry opportunities, to evangelism opportunities. Is there anyone here that is interested in knowing their Bible better and you want to say, God, I want to know my Bible better and I'm willing to maybe meet with somebody on a weekly basis to go over the Bible and to learn it better? Is there anyone here that is interested in that? Okay, amen, amen, amen. Awesome, amen, amen. So Sibu's gonna get your names just so that we can follow up. And I know Pastor Steve, Tony, will be following up, myself as well. And as I end, the last thing that I wanna make an appeal for as I end is maybe you know your Bible really well. And maybe you have nothing that is wrong between you and God. You've prayed, God has searched your heart, and you're in right with him. But at the same time, maybe there's more that you can do. You know, maybe you can be like this person Michael Tuazon 10 years ago, where he was willing to watch one less movie on Netflix so that a word of God could be shared. Maybe he's willing to watch one less Trump rant on YouTube so that a word of God, if you love Trump or hate him, you want to watch him on YouTube, right? It's a temptation for us all. So the reality is maybe I'm willing to watch one less YouTube video, one less news story, read one less story so that I can actually dedicate a little bit more time to God, maybe on the evenings or the weekends. Maybe you're busy with work. You know, maybe it's work that is really bogging you down and you want to say to God, you know what, I'm working and working is good, but maybe if I work just a little bit less hours, or maybe I could take one day off a week, or maybe I could take some time off and give that to Him, you know, in the form of evangelism, because I know my word, and maybe there's people I can share it with. Or maybe you're in school and you have a lot of classes and you're busy, but you want to say, God, I know I could do more for you. I could reach out more if I dropped a class, or if I just took an easier class. Maybe that's you. If anyone here is that, where you want to dedicate a little bit more time to God, you want to get more involved in ministry, if you could maybe raise your hand. If you could raise your hand. Amen, amen, amen. So if that's you, again, we don't want these to just be hands raised. You know, Tony, Pastor Steve, even myself and some others, we'll be in contact, and we're going to be doing some amazing things here by God's grace in this church. And so, amen. So yeah, if you keep your hand raised, if Cebu hasn't got to you yet, and you can write your name, your email, and your phone number on that, and that's enough for us to follow up with you. Amen. 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 So I praise God for the decisions that are made. Again, we don't want these just to be hands raised and feet stood, and then we go on our day. We want to actually work together, and we want to actually fulfill these things by God's grace. So I'm going to pray here to close, and then we'll sing a closing hymn, He Lives. And I love that hymn because this is all possible because Jesus lives. Jesus is the one that does all of this. Jesus is the man. Jesus is our God. And so I'm just really, really praised to be a part of His kingdom. And I think all of us here are as well. So let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just really want to thank You for this time, Father. Forgive me, I saw I did go maybe about 7 minutes over, Father. But I just praise You for what You've done in my life, Father. I just get so excited. Yesterday I couldn't even sleep because I was so excited that I could talk about what You've done in my life. And I'm so excited for this church, Father. Alameda, oh, I love these people here, Father. They're so nice and they've been so great to us. And I just want to pray, Father, that You do mighty and great things through all of us, Father. You have a plan here. You have a purpose here, Father. You've brought us here for a time. And the time is now, and You want us to go out, Father, and You want us to work with You to reach souls, Father, whether we're full-time for You or whether we have 2 full-time jobs and we can only put 10, 15 hours a week, Father. You want us to work for You. Whether we're 80 years old, Father, or 8 years old, or everything in between, Father, You want us to be a part of your priority list, Father, which is to save souls and to reach souls. These are the things that You want, Father, and we don't want these things, Father, because we're sinful humans. But we ask to change our hearts, Father. We ask You to change our hearts, change our desires, so that we actually want the things that You want, Father. Change our motivations, Father, so that we enjoy the things that You enjoy. This is a supernatural work of Your Holy Spirit, and we ask that You do that work in our life. I pray for the decisions that have been made, Father. Those that want to study the Bible more, Father, let us study together. I pray for those that want to spend more time, Father, want to make some tweaks in their work or school life or family life so they can give more to You, Father. I praise You for that, and I ask that You bless them and that we go forth together in this work. And I pray these things, Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You so much for everything and all that You've done in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Open our hymnals to 251, He Lives.